Now, this is Paul's message before the mob. And he recounts here his encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ and his subsequent experience, which brought him to Jerusalem. Now, Paul appeals to his Roman citizenship to deliver himself from the awful whipping that would have been given a prisoner here. Now, that's what we're going to see in this chapter. Now, Paul speaks to the chief captain in Greek. But now he addresses this Jewish mob in his and their native tongue, Hebrew. And the minute that he began to speak to them in Hebrew, the tongue which they loved and the tongue which they understood, they knew he's one of us. He's a soul brother. He's one of us. And they listened to him. Now listen to Paul here. Here's a great message of the Apostle Paul. He says, "Man, brethren and fathers." Men, brethren. They're brethren, they belong to the same race. And then he shows respect for the elder men and fathers. "Hear ye my defense, which I make now unto you." Now he appeals to the mob. "And when they heard that he spake in the Hebrew tongue to them, they kept the more silence." And the minute he began to speak in Hebrew, it was just like a raging wind dying down. It was like the waves of the sea as they became quiet. It was the same way as when our Lord said to the waves, "Be still." And they were still. This crowd now, this mob, they're quiet. They're listening to a man that he's one of them. Now listen to him. He gives his history. "I am verily a man which am a Jew, born in Tarsus, a city in Cilicia, yet brought up in this city at the feet of Gamaliel, and taught according to the perfect manner of the law of the fathers, and was zealous toward God, as ye all are this day." Now, here begins a persecution of Paul by the Jewish leaders, by the religious leaders of the day. Paul had been one of them. He'd been a Pharisee. And one of the reasons that he had so much sympathy with them and was so loving toward them is because he'd been one of them and he knew exactly how they felt. And before his conversion, and now he wants to win them. And so he gives them now first his background. And Paul had a tremendous background. Tarsus was the center of, actually, Greek learning of that day. The finest Greek university in Paul's day was in Tarsus, not in Athens or Corinth. They'd gone to seed. But Tarsus was a thriving city and a Greek city. Now, he not only had been probably brought up in that university and had the Greek background, but also he'd been in Jerusalem and had studied under Gamaliel. And friends, he'd done his doctor's work, if you please. He had worked on his doctorate in Jerusalem under the outstanding scholar of that day, Gamaliel. They're listening to him now. Listen to him also. Verse 4 of chapter 22 of Acts. "And I persecuted this way." Paul didn't call the church or the followers of Christ or Christians. He didn't use that term. He used the term they would understand, and he understood. And it's a good term. I think still a good one. "And I persecuted this way." What is this way? Well, it's the way, the truth, and the life. It's the person of the Lord Jesus. "And I persecuted this way unto the death, binding and delivering into prisons both men and women." Now, what he's saying is, I have the same background that you folk have, and I know how you feel. I did the same thing. Now, he goes on, "As also the high priest doth bear me witness, and all the estate of the elders, from whom also I received letters unto the brethren, and went to Damascus to bring them which were there bound unto Jerusalem for to be punished. And it came to pass that as I made my journey and was come nigh unto Damascus about noon, suddenly there shone from heaven a great light round about me, and I fell unto the ground, and heard a voice saying unto me, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Now, Paul is giving his experience, you see. And I answered, Who art thou, Lord? And he said unto me, I'm Jesus of Nazareth, whom thou persecutest. I think you could have heard a pin drop in the crowd there that day. And they that were with me saw indeed the light and were afraid, but they heard not the voice of him that spake to me. Now, I want you to notice something. If you'll recall back when we looked at the conversion of this man, Saul of Tarsus, you will recall that at that time, when we're given the record of this man's conversion, that the thing that happened was that they had heard a voice. And now we are told here they didn't hear a voice, but they heard not the voice of him that spake with me. This is something that I think is quite interesting here because of the fact that it looks like that you got a contradiction. And actually, you don't have a contradiction at all. The men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. That's what you have in Acts 9:7. And here it says, And they heard not the voice of him that spake with me. And here it's hearing a voice, but seeing no man. What actually it means, they heard, but they never understood what the voice said. All they did was just hear a voice. They were not able to discern what was said. I think you need to note that, because here again is where the critic likes to pounce in, and he has just a peck of fun, but there's no fun here for him. Verse 10, And I said, What shall I do, Lord? And the Lord said unto me, Arise, go into Damascus, and there it shall be told thee all things that are appointed for thee to do. Verse 11, And when I could not see for the glory of that light, being led by the hand of them that were with me, I came into Damascus. And one Ananias, a devout man according to the law, having a good report of all the Jews which dwelt there, came unto me and stood and said unto me, Brother Saul, receive thy sight. And the same hour I looked up upon him. And he said, The God of our fathers hath chosen thee, that thou should know his will, and see that just one, and shouldest hear the voice of his mouth. For thou shalt be his witness unto all men of what thou hast seen and heard. Now notice, Paul was given a private interview with the Lord Jesus, and I believe that was the time he spent out on that Arabian desert. Now will you notice verse 16, And now why tarriest thou? Arise, be baptized, and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. And it came to pass that when I was come again to Jerusalem, even while I prayed in the temple, I was in a trance, and saw him saying unto thee, Make haste and get thee quickly out of Jerusalem, for they will not receive thy testimony concerning me. And I said, Lord, they know that I imprisoned and beat in every synagogue them that believed on thee. And when the blood of thy martyr Stephen was shed, I also was standing by and consenting unto his death, and I kept the raiment of them that slew him. You see, Paul never forgot that he was present at the stoning of Stephen and had charge of it, and it left an indelible impression on his mind and prepared him actually for his own conversion. Now verse 21, And he said unto me, Depart, for I will send thee far hence unto the Gentiles. And they gave him audience unto this word, then lifted up their voices and said, Away with such a fellow from the earth, for it's not fit that he should live. Now, he's mentioned Gentiles because Paul has been out speaking to the Gentiles, and they've known that, and they've heard that. And the minute he mentions that, it was just like lighting a fuse, and they'll not hear him any longer. And as they cried out, cast off their clothes and threw dust into the air, The chief captain commanded him to be brought into the castle, bade that he should be examined by scourging, that he might know wherefore they cried so against him. Now you see, the minute he lapsed over into the Hebrew tongue and Paul spoke in the Hebrew tongue, the captain stood there speechless. He didn't know what was said. He didn't understand Hebrew. And all he could do was that when they broke out in this rage against Paul, he took him inside and thought that since he's a prisoner, he should scourge him. And as they bound him with thongs, Paul said unto the centurion that stood by, "Is it lawful for you to scourge a man that is a Roman and uncondemned?" Now you remember, Paul began this. He's misunderstood all around. They thought he was an Egyptian. He was not. And they thought he'd brought Trophimus into the temple, and he hadn't done that. But notice what he is. He speaks Greek, but he's a Hebrew. And also, he's a Roman citizen. Now he's appealing to that. When the centurion heard that, he went and told the chief captain, said, "Take heed what thou doest, for this man's a Roman." Then the chief captain came and said unto him, "Tell me, art thou a Roman?" He said, "Yea, I'm a Roman." And the chief captain answered, "With a great sum obtained I this freedom." And Paul said, "But I was born free." How wonderful. This captain, you see, was an ex-slave. And he'd saved up his money, or somebody else had saved it, or he got money some way, and he bought his freedom. And now he's advanced in the Roman army. And he's amazed that here's a prisoner who's a Roman citizen and is born free. Then straightway they departed from him, which should have examined him, and the chief captain also was afraid, after he knew that he was a Roman, and because he'd bound him on the morrow, because he would have known the certainty wherefore he was accused of the Jews, he loosed him from his bands and commanded the chief priests and all their council to appear, and brought Paul down, set him before them. Now he's going to have a hearing. Why, here's a remarkable individual. He speaks Greek. He's a learned man. He not only is that, he's not a common crook by any means, and he's a Hebrew, and he's not only that, but he's a Roman citizen. And so this captain says, "We're just not going to treat him as a common criminal. We're going to hear what the charges are." So now they're preparing for that, and they're going now to bring in the charge against him.